DW.
I'm Kathleen Schuster, and you're listening to WorldLink. 4 years ago this month, Saudi Arabia launched an international intervention to stop the war in Yemen. The goal was to restore power to Yemen's internationally recognized government by bombing and cutting off aid to its enemy, the Houthi fighters from northern Yemen. The war has claimed tens of thousands of lives, many of whom were the victims of starvation and disease. It's also raised uncomfortable questions for Western governments about their weapons exports. It's been called the Forgotten War, or as my next guest would call it, the Hidden War. Véronique de Vigary is a war photographer from France. Her most recent project, called Yemen, the Hidden War, won her one of the most prestigious photography awards in France last year. She was also the first woman to win that prize in 20 years. You might also know her name from numerous publications she's worked for outside of France, among them the New York Times Magazine, Newsweek, and The Guardian. She describes herself as a war reporter, mother of two, blonde and not stupid, fearless. Véronique de Vigary joins us now over the phone from Grenoble, France. Véronique, welcome to WorldLink.
Thank you so much.
Now, all of the conflict zones in the world right now, and you've been to quite a few of them, but why did you choose to go to Yemen? I mean, weren't you scared of not being able to get out?
I mean, with the joints I'm working with, Manon Kerouille, it was like a long time we were thinking, you know, we could hear things about Yemen, but mostly about NGO and nothing really serious, not proper journalism. And so we decided, you know, it was time, like, we go and do a report. And then we understand why there were so few reports, because it's so difficult to go there.
How did you get in?
I mean, it was very complicated. As I said, it was nearly impossible. Once you arrive in South Yemen, we managed to be hidden in the back of a car and drive from Aden to Sana'a. There's about, like, 50 or 70 checkpoints. But every time they see just two burqas in the back, you know, the soldiers don't speak to us and they let us go. So that's how we managed to go there.
So being fully covered, nobody could recognize that you were from the West.
Yeah, really hidden. I mean, we make sure that if they open the boot of the car, our suitcase looks really normal, no Westerners, evidences. I had all my cameras hidden under the burqa. No speak, obviously. I mean, we really make sure we were as, you know, looking as Yemeni burqa as possible.
Well, there's one photograph that you took that I want to discuss, and it's of an emaciated baby, a baby that basically looks like skin and bones. And the way that you photographed the baby, it couldn't weigh more than a kilo from the looks of it, and it's lying in a scale, a suspended scale. Could you tell me about taking that photograph?
So that was like only a few days after we arrived from Sana'a. We went to Sada, which is a Houthi stronghold. So basically the city is just rubbles. And we went to the hospital and we went to the children's ward. When we arrived, the mother, she was just trying to extract a little bit of milk from her breast, you know. Mm-hmm. Just like she had like one tear of milk and she was giving it with a spoon into his mouth. I mean, obviously it was not enough, and if it was going to be like this, the kid was going to die. And so we went to see the weight of the baby, so they put all the clothes of the baby and put it on a plastic basin, and just see that this baby is about 2.3 kilos, I think, and is already more than 2 months. And I mean, the baby has no name because his future is so uncertain. And the mother is like feeling like really responsible and guilty. I mean, it was a horrendous situation to live. And I don't even know if the baby could make it at the end or not. But the doctor were not optimistic at all.
Had you ever seen a baby in that condition before?
No, never.
And how do you keep your journalistic distance in those situations? Because if it were any other situation, you might be inclined to do something to try to help. But as a photographer, you're an observer. So where do you draw the line?
The thing is, like, I think firstly, you're not a photographer. First, you are a human being, and then after, you are a photographer. And if there was something we could have done for this baby, we would have. But sadly, there was nothing we could do. I mean, we didn't add any IV with us. There was no way we could take the baby away from his mother. I mean, his place was with his mother. And it's really hard, like, to feel so useless and so helpless on this kind of situation. But sometimes there is nothing you can do about it. The best thing you can do about it is just to send out the message so it won't happen again.
Mm. Well, you continued your travels through Yemen, and you took many photos of bombed out buildings. You also took photos of the fact that there are now more girls enrolled in schools than boys because of the fighting, and many touching photos of young girls sitting in schools or graduation photos. But another photo I want to talk about that really struck me, it's of this group of young people. They look like they're in their early 20s. And there's a woman in the foreground, and she has a, I don't know if it's a Kalashnikov, but anyway, a very big gun, and a headscarf on, a colorful headscarf tied around her, kind of at the nape of her neck, and wearing a long gray coat. And then the men around her, they look kind of formal, actually. They're wearing, one of them's wearing a suit and a red tie. Another has like a suit vest on and a red tie. And the other guy has like a cardigan, and they're all carrying guns, and they're looking so confidently into the camera. And if it weren't for the guns, I would almost say it could be like an album cover or something really, I don't know, just these really yeah. confident young people. What were the circumstances of taking that photo?
I mean, this is a picture of what I call Amatullah and the Angels. Basically, they are the Yemen children government minister, because in Yemen, I think that's the only place I've visited where that is. Every adult minister has his child minister.
Oh, okay.
And at the head of this children government, there is Amatullah, this young girl. At this time of the picture, she's about 17 years old. Amatullah, this girl, she proposed us to kind of kidnap us so we could be off the control and the radar of the Houthis, and we could work, you know, as journalists completely freely. So that's what we did. And so we worked with her and her child minister, and they took a lot of risk to protect us from the Houthis, who send the police after us. And, you know, some of them even spent one day in prison because of us, and but they all help us. And I think it was one of their missions that Ahmad, she decided that, you know, one of her mission this time would be to allow us to come back with a very comprehensive and very important report. So maybe, you know, the coalition or Occidental world will finally open their eyes on what's happening to them.
Do you also have a different reaction to your photos when you see them when you're back home safe in France versus when you've just taken them and you're going through them on your camera or your computer?
Actually, I don't tend to go back that much to my picture I just took. Like, once, if you see them different, yeah, because you don't see them with the atmosphere around, you don't see them with the smell, you don't see them with the shout and with the noise around, so it gives a different atmosphere. But no, I'm more haunted by picture I didn't take, actually. That's the one who stay in my mind, and that I revisit a lot and a lot and a lot.
Mm. I have to say, you know, when I was telling coworkers about the fact that I was going to interview you, we all had the same question, which was, how do you keep going back out there? I mean, you've seen such terrible things. Haven't you had an experience that ever made you go, oh, I can't do this anymore?
No, not yet. Even though, I mean, you always come back with some ghosts in your suitcase. I mean, you know that you might not come back as you left, especially in trips like Yemen. First, I've got the chance to work as a binom with Manon. So it's like, I think 14 years we're working together, so we can share the good thing and the bad thing, and we can, you know, share our ghost even when we are back in Paris. Sometimes you have this kind of flashback, I mean, not flashback, but, you know, Yeah, and then you feel guilty, and then, yeah. But no, it doesn't make me stop. It just make me want to go back. So maybe I don't know. Hopefully, somebody will pick up the message, and maybe that would change a bit. I don't know. I hope that.
Mm. You've received a number of awards over your career, but since this project, you also received France's Visa d'Or Paris Match News Award, which is a prestigious photography award, and you were the first woman to do so in 20 years. Your work was also honored in March of this year in the 60th edition of Reporters Without Borders 100 Photo Series, and your Yemen project is going to be displayed in the coming weeks outside of Paris's Lyon station, the Gare de Lyon. Do you feel like these awards are bringing more attention to what you're trying to tell the world about Yemen?
Yeah, attention is there, but nothing has changed yet. But I think at least people will not be able to say anymore that they didn't know. Now I think people know what's happening in Yemen, and our silence is guilty.
Well, you've been to so many different conflict zones, war zones over the years. You've taken many stunning photographs, but you've also made your career over the past 15 or so years during a time when technology has changed a lot. Everybody has a camera now. It's instantaneous when you upload a photo. And I was thinking about how war photography used to be much more iconic when you think of the Vietnam War, for example, or World War II. Certain photos come to mind, but just a handful. How have you noticed this change in technology and also the change in how news is distributed? How has that affected how you do your job?
Well, it's like everything has to be fast and quick, and everybody is a potential photographer, but I don't think everybody is a storyteller. I mean, storytelling, it takes time. It takes a lot of energy and patience and perspicacity. So, there is a lot of pictures. There is a lot of photographer out there, and everything can be quick. But I think the need for storytelling is still there and will still be there, because at the end of the day, just one picture without any story behind doesn't mean a lot. And if pictures carry on to be the expression of message, then for me it's worth it.
So what's your next project, if you're allowed to say?
Well, actually, I just came back from 7 weeks, like, in Syria, Egypt, and Brazil. So I think going to take a bit of time to be a good mother with my daughters. And then I see. But my next thing, which is going to be published, will be on Indians fighting against their president, Bolsonaro, to protect their forest in Amazonia, in Brazil.
Well, we look forward to seeing those photos. Véronique de Vigary is a French war photographer. Her latest project is called Yemen, the Hidden War. She joined us over the phone from Grenoble, France. Véronique, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks a lot. DW.